Well, here we are in the middle of this wonderful story. Hopefully we've been paying attention to the words of these scripture readings. This is a story worth telling over and over again, which is why we do this every year, right? As I begin this talk, are there a few little kids in this room? You'd stay with your parents and stay where you are, but I'm going to need your help throughout this because you possess a certain propensity towards silliness that the grown-ups might need some help entering into with you. So hopefully you're prepared for this. The Christmas container. What does that mean? Words are containers for ideas. Has anybody heard that term before? Words are containers for ideas. And so I want to talk about the container of Christmas. We don't always hear words the same way as the person sitting next to us or the person who lives far away from us. I'll give you a few examples. I'm from Illinois, and I'm sort of a transport into Michigan. And the first time Marcy told me to take a Michigan left, I was like, it says no left. She said, no, a Michigan left. Right, then left. Right, then a U-turn. It's like, well, U-turns are illegal in Illinois. What are you talking about? Okay, so we understand how these things get confusing. Another one. Oh, yeah. Where I come from, in my hometown, there's a place called Party Land. And it is a place filled with costumes and filled with party supplies, plates, cups, bowls. And when I met my wife, it was pretty common in her town for people to say, I'm going to run up to the party store. I was like, you're going to go to the costume shop? Like, it's like 9 o'clock at night on like a Thursday. Why do you need to go to the party store now? And I realized that it's a different thing here. apparently, we have a different idea of partying in Rockford, Illinois. Down south, I hear when you refer to a buggy, talking about a shopping cart, and I mean, I wouldn't think shopping cart, buggy, right? I mean, I'm thinking of a horse and somebody being pulled by the horse, right? You get that? Tea. I would like some tea. Now, if you're in Atlanta, Georgia, you ask for some tea, it's going to have 3 cups of sugar in it, okay? If you're at my in-law's house, there will never have been any sugar touching any of the tea. If you're across the pond, the tea will be hot and it will be in a little white cup with a saucer underneath it, right? Tea can be so many different things to so many people, but based on our experience, we take on tea as our sort of thing. Just a couple more. Slice of pie, normally, right? Pumpkin pie, cherry pie, apple pie. You go to New York City, what's a slice of pie? Amen. Anybody have any? Yes. So we get it. Words are containers for ideas, and sometimes those ideas are different depending on where we're at. The Christmas container is a huge container, is it not? Like when we say Christmas, that word holds a lot. It holds a lot of ideas. It holds a lot of concepts. It holds a lot. Kids, well, everybody, you'll recognize this guy, right? You guys know who that is? All right, you guys want to help me? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, before he sees you when you're sleeping, we better stop. It gets dicey later on in the song because then you find out that he's watching you and, you know, you might be doing bad things. And so Santa is very, in our culture, very closely associated with Christmas. And with Santa comes this guy, right? You guys know who that is? Yeah, Rudolph. Okay. You want to sing again? Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, everybody, had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. Wonderful. See, you guys know your Christmas carols, right? I mean, we Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Frosty the Snowman. Oh, I didn't get to that one yet. You guys seen this guy or girl? If you're on any social media this time of year, for some reason there's like photographs. It is the elf on the shelf. That's right. There's photos of this fellow or gal in all sorts of different locations. And it's something that we think of when we think of Christmas these days. Another one. Right. He was a jolly, happy soul, right? Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Okay? He's a snowman with a pipe. Think about it. I wouldn't want to go anywhere near fire if I was a snowman, but that's just me. What else do we think of when we think of Christmas? What else fits into the Christmas container? Presents, right? We certainly closely identify Christmas with a large stack of presents, or a little stack of presents. How about this one? Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Wonderful. Christmas tree, you know, these are fairly harmless. We have a star on the top, which, you know, symbolizes the star and Jesus and everything. We can put some significance into a Christmas tree. And then, of course, has anybody ever watched a Hallmark Christmas movie? Or any made-for-TV Christmas movie? Okay. In pretty much all of those, I think, now I don't watch a lot of them, but I think Christmas is usually about family, right? Is that usually what it ends up being in the story, that Christmas is about family? Now, this may not be what your family looks like. There's just a creepiness that's hard to pinpoint about that family, But in our culture, often, you know, sort of, I don't know, just all sorts of, you know, being together with family on Christmas, overcoming obstacles in order to be together is a lot of what Christmas is about. For some, the Christmas container is full of happiness, right? It's like just your favorite time of the year, and you get excited, and the sights and the sounds just make you alive. And for some people, Christmas is sort of goes with sadness, and it's just a reminder of all the things that you've lost in life, and it can be a very sort of a downer time of year for many people. For some people, the Christmas container is not a pleasant thing to open. So that's more what it's like usually, right? We don't usually get Christmas in this, okay, there's Santa, there's Rudolph. It's kind of like it's all coming at us at once in our lives. Christmas season comes, and it's kind of like, you know, overload if you're watching the screen just now. Images, pictures, ideas are constantly coming at you, and you're trying to reconcile them, and you're trying to remember that it's about a baby born in a manger, but it's all just coming, and it's all part of Christmas. And it really is a part of Christmas in our world and in our culture. And when we talk about Christmas, people understand it in terms of all of these different things, all of these different ideas. But our Christmas container, I want to look at this as our Christmas container for the moment, because it's just struck me as profound this year. The reason it struck me as profound, one, is that there was a very, very tragic event that happened in our country 2 days before we were to light the joy candle. And as a pastor, I struggled to figure out whether we should be lighting a joy candle 2 days after a major catastrophe in our country. And the answer ultimately became yes. Yes, we should be lighting a joy candle. Not because The world has been made right, not because everything is perfect and not because life is always happy, but because despite of everything in this world, we do have access to the joy of Christ. We have access to the hope of Christ, the peace of Christ, and the love of Christ. The first candle that we lit is the candle of hope. It's about the hope that has been had for nations for ages, and the people that hoped for a Messiah to come. And then that Messiah was born, and it's the hope for us that that Messiah will come and return and make things right. Peace. It's about the peace that comes from Christ. And joy, this beautiful pink. For some of you, who your favorite color is pink, you know why. This is joy. Joy is a beautiful thing. And love, the love of Christ, is embodied in this symbol. But tonight we lit the Christ candle. The one in the middle, the one which the other ones all revolve around. We've been lighting all of these in preparation. We've been preparing our hearts with hope, with peace, with love, and with joy. We've been preparing ourselves to be this kind of person. And once they're all lit, we find that all of these virtues are embodied in none other than Christ himself, the one who gives and is the source of all hope, all peace, all joy, and all love. A faithful Advent, which is what's sort of ending tonight. Advent ends and Christmas begins. But a faithful Advent prepares and shapes us in hope, in peace, in joy, and in love in order to, as Joy to the World says, prepare him room in our hearts. We make space for God in our lives by being hopeful, by having peace, by being joyful, by being filled with love. And the bed that is created by those four candles, and if they're burning in our hearts, they prepare our hearts to receive the candle in the middle, which is the candle of Christ. That's my son. He does that all the time. Don't worry. But now that all of the candles have been lit, may you, as you look at Christmas and what it means to you, yes, it means a whole lot of things. Keep that in mind as you have conversations with people who may not have the same experiences as you. But know that Christ is born. God is with us, and he is with us right here, right now, in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for Christmas. Sometimes in spite of our experiences, and sometimes because of our experiences. But God, may we be excited, focused, and prepared to receive Christ into our hearts this day and into our lives as we move from this place. We love you, Lord. We thank you for being here. We thank you for the cries of these children that remind us that this is how you came into the world. Vulnerable, but loved, in order that you might love us to the full. We love you, Lord, and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, one way.